This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite. Thank you so much for being with us today. After years of relative calm, violent crime has seen a dramatic uptick in Milwaukee this summer. Both murders and non-fatal shootings have alarmed residents, mobilized police, and spurred rhetoric by politicians on all sides. Leaders such as Mayor Barrett have called for funding to put more officers on the streets, a request that has been met with some debate from state lawmakers. And earlier this week, Barrett and Police Chief Edward Flynn were in Washington to speak with top federal officials, including President Obama, about the issue of youth violence. Chief Flynn is with us in the studio now to talk about a challenging summer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
You and other chiefs of police and mayors, I believe this week, met with the Attorney General of the United States to talk about youth violence. What was the message you sought to bring, and what was it that you've heard and you did hear in that meeting?
Well, it was very interesting. The White House and the Attorney General both invited about 15 mayors and their police chiefs to a series of meetings. The mayors met with the president, police chiefs got lunch and then came back. And we had an opportunity to sit down with the Attorney General with some of the mayors in attendance. The purpose of the meeting from the Attorney General's point of view was literally to pick our brains, that the cities that were identified to come to the meeting were all cities that have violence issues. You know, we were not there with, you know, San Jose and Sunnyvale, California. We were there with Philadelphia and with Baltimore and with Memphis and with Minneapolis and with St. Louis and similarly situated cities. And the discussion was really in what the dynamics, what's changed, who's affected. It was a different sort of meeting than I'm used to when I meet with federal officials. Usually when I have one of those meetings, they invite us there allegedly to hear from us and then give us a lecture about something they want to do. There was no lecture at the end of this. It was very much how might we be of assistance in a thoughtful, targeted way. And so a number of the mayors, a number of the police chiefs identified what is a common issue across the urban centers of America, that is youth violence, not specifically juveniles as legislatively defined, but youth violence between the ages of 15 and 30, quite honestly, firearms related and highly concentrated in the African-American community, primarily involving people with criminal histories. This is not unique to Milwaukee. And the Philadelphia mayor, Mayor Nutter, made a very strong statement about the impact that this violence committed by and against African-Americans in Central City is having is a major drag on the economic prospects of those folks and on the city of Philadelphia generally. And he was strongly seconded by the mayor of New Orleans, who basically said he called it catastrophic, the level of casualties among young black men in central cities. And so that certainly drove a part of the discussion. And one of the points I was there to make was that there's an awful lot of talk about disparity as the results of police tactics, such as field interviews or car stops or arrests for felony crimes. The point is these disparities exactly mirror the grotesque disparity in victimization experienced by poor communities of color in the central cities of the United States. And that's certainly something the mayors of those cities all strongly agreed about. So, you know, we had a good discussion, and the sense I got was the Justice Department, which really has no money right now, nobody does, for any of the kind of grant programs that we had perhaps in the in prior years, is interested in targeted investments in best practices application. In other words, can they help us identify strategies that have been effective long term? I mean, all the departments there know the blocking and tackling of police work. But are there longer term anti-violence strategies that research supports are effective over a longer period of time? And then trying to replicate them in some of the cities that were there. So there was some cautious optimism that in this case, the Justice Department was really trying to be useful beyond the arrest, you know, beyond the investigation, and seeing if they could support. Because, I mean, the bottom line is you drive down crime in the central cities, you drive down the crime in the United States. I mean, the crime rate in the United States is always driven by the central cities. So if there's a significant decrease, I mean, In my first year here, when we had a 30% decrease in homicides, that drove the state decrease because we had most of the state's homicides in the first place. So the thought is that an investment in a city such as Milwaukee and New Orleans and Philadelphia could have a significant benefit for national data.
Well, and so let me ask you this, because we have talked in the past about your policing philosophy and indeed about how violent crime has decreased in the past. The efforts that you've undertaken in the past, are they no longer working? Is something different about 2013 in the summer in Milwaukee than it has been in the previous 5-6 years here?
Well, you know, we've engaged, you know, very thoughtfully and very consistently in a community-based, problem-oriented, data-driven strategy that over the course of 5.5 years has had significant impact on the overall crime rate. You know, I fear – I'm the first one to admit and draw the community's attention to the fact that we've had a terrible 2 months and I'm bringing a spotlight to it. This does not mean the police department should suddenly panic and abandon tactics that have been working for 5.5 years. By every metric, crime is down. Now, I know there's folks out there who want to fuss and fume about, you know, the series of articles in the newspaper a couple of years ago. But, you know, our data has been audited several different times. It's reliable. In the aggregate, we've had significant – we've had a 30% decrease in overall crime in the last 5.5 years. And that figure has been, you know, tossed about frequently and looked at. We're comfortable with the accuracy of our findings, but been incremental, you know. And this year, at the mid-year point, we had 35 homicides, which would have put us on pace to have a record low number of homicides. I mean, the record low was 72 my first year. And it looked like we were going to do even less than that. I mean, it was really – we were fingers crossed. Don't talk about the no-hitter. Things are going well. Well, you know, it's now 7 weeks after the six-month data come out, and we've had 30 homicides in 7 weeks. I mean, it's the most violent period of time in 5.5 years. There's no unitary explanation for it. We've had a wide variety of homicides. It's not like I can say this gang is fighting this gang. No, we've had – domestic homicides, child abuse homicides, you know, random explosion of road rage homicides, bar fight homicides, every kind of homicide we could have. And we've also had a significant uptick in the number of non-fatal shootings. Mid-year this year, we were well below last year's pace. In the last 2 months, we've basically had our entire increase. I mean, so far this year, we've had 20 more non-fatal shootings than we did last year at this time, which are hardly numbers to panic about. But the fact is they've been extraordinarily concentrated in the last 2 months. So the entire year's increase and then some has happened in just a two-month period.
Now, and I assume as a police department, it does not behoove you to say, well, hey, these statistics are an anomaly. You have to react to them.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, in any field endeavor, you are going to have periods of intense activity. I don't care if you work in a hospital and you do preventive medicine and then all of a sudden a bunch of people get sick. Doesn't mean, you know, your preventive medicine doesn't work. It means a bunch of people got sick. And what we've got to be able to do here is continue to work on the three aspects of what our job is. We focus on prevention. When we don't prevent, we need to solve as rapidly as we can. We're still batting over 70% clearance rates for our homicides. And then we have to continue to make sure that we don't end up in retaliatory cycles of violence. And, you know, come to me right now, the spikes are robberies and shootings. And homicide, of course, is up, and that's a component of our increase in shootings. Burglaries are down compared to last year. Car thefts are down compared to last year. Larcenies are down compared to last year. But we've certainly had this spike. We're investing resources in it. Our officers are around the ball. I mean, we made 2,500 arrests just in the month of July. We've made another 2,500 arrests so far in August. So that's 5,000 arrests in 2 months. I mean, this police department is out there around the ball interfacing with those with whom we must interface. But it's undeniable that there's an extraordinary number of guns out there. We've taken hundreds of guns off the street just in 7 weeks. The undeniable fact is we are facing violent individuals who are heavily armed.
5,000 arrests in 2 months. The mayor has called for funding for more officers on the street. The assembly speaker has talked about what he calls errors in policing. What is your take on how manpower has been deployed and his claim that that there have been errors?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to have the conversation with the speaker over the phone. I think he'd like to take a mulligan on that one. because as we had the conversation, he's going to come here, as a matter of fact, and we're going to show him the level of analysis we do, the thoughtfulness of our deployments, and the overall effect of our strategies. And in fact, by the time I spoke to him, which was after the notorious comment, but also subsequent to his meeting with some of our aldermen, he had a somewhat different perspective already. So, you know, I think sometimes people make statements based on what other people have told them. And when you're in public life, there's a lot of people out there that want to spin you one way or the other. I think we have the basis perhaps for some useful conversations. I mean, Milwaukee needs the state legislature right now. You know, Milwaukee clearly is an essential part of the state of Wisconsin. This is our legislature too. It's our governor too. These are Wisconsin residents in this city that are facing these situations. And so, you know, we've made what I think are reasonable requests. It was the Joint Committee on Finance, which is made up of the Senate and the House, that recommended that the city get $445,000 of community policing money. The governor excised it at a time when he felt pressure to balance the budget. Well, the budget's balanced now, okay? I think maybe it's appropriate to revisit that. I know there's some talk about, well, other cities will have it too. Well, believe me, if there's any other cities out there in Wisconsin right now with 65 homicides, I'm happy to share the money. I'll split it with them, okay? But I don't think you're going to get those requests from anybody else because nobody else is facing the vortex of social and crime problems that this city has to confront. And I think reasonable people can say that's nobody's fault. There's social and historical reasons why Milwaukee is facing the challenges that it is. Let's, you know, step away from the talking points and see if we can come together and solve problems that are afflicting some of Wisconsin's residents.
Well, and in the middle of all this, some, including you, have called for new mandatory minimum sentences for firearm violations. Why do you think that would make a difference?
Well, you know, I need to make a disclaimer up front. A lot of attention has been brought to the issue of disparity in sentencing around drugs, and I thoroughly understand that concern. And as far as I'm concerned, that should be part of any discussion about mandatory sentences. I think we're past the point of recognizing that mandatory sentences for drug possession are not part of a successful strategy dealing with the public health issues resolved around drugs. And so let us revisit them, because it is absurd. There's no mandatory sentence for being a dangerous criminal with a gun, but there is one for being in possession of drugs. And so, you know, by all means, let us have that conversation. And most chiefs I know agree that it's time to revisit that. Certainly the large city chiefs do. Having said that, however, many people don't realize that a big part of the New York City miracle of the late 1990s in drastically reducing homicides. Remember, they had 2,000 homicides in 1992, and that number now is 400, okay? And overwhelmingly, like every other city, their homicides were concentrated among poor people of color, dramatically reduced it. Yes, they increased the size of the department by a third. Yes, they started to manage it effectively with data. But the third part of that, that's the third leg on that stool, was New York State passed a mandatory, if you're caught with illegally carrying a weapon, it's a 3-year sentence. And my friend Gary McCarthy, who's now superintendent of police in Chicago, was first deputy commissioner. He's the first one to say that made all the difference. And he's asked for that same law in Illinois, as a matter of fact. Because right now in Milwaukee, it is more dangerous for a career criminal to get caught without his gun than to get caught with it. All right, if he's caught without it by another felon, they're going to have a shootout. If he's caught with us by it, he's going to get a misdemeanor. Okay, we had our CompStat meeting today. We were talking about one of our career criminals who's been arrested 3 times since April in possession of a firearm. All right, that's clearly a man undeterred by the current statutes. And as a matter of fact, the last time he was arrested, he said, you know, I need to get my permit to carry. And the irony is right now he qualifies for a permit to carry. Because under our current state law, only convicted felons are forbidden from getting a gun permit. And we're having career drug dealers lawfully carrying guns on the streets of Milwaukee because their only convictions have been to misdemeanor pleas. And we have this guy who's been arrested 3 times illegally carrying, who's been at shooting scenes, who's well documented as part of the criminal community, saying, you know, I got to quit getting arrested for this. I should go get my concealed carry permit. And right now he would be successful in getting it. So the two asks are a minimum sentence and please, can we not fashion a law that says career criminals may not get gun permits?
To a completely different topic before we wrap up, there are tens of thousands of Harley riders in town for the Labor Day weekend. What sorts of challenges do you see that bringing to your department, if any?
Well, You know, we're going to take a nice deep breath at the end of this summer and recollect the extraordinary work that the men and women of this police department have done. You know, in their spare time from fighting significant crime, we have policed successfully, you know, Juneteenth Day, Summerfest, the ethnic festivals, a couple of marathons, a triathlon, and, you know, and now we're having, you know, Harley Fest. There's going to be 250,000 people are going to be in this town to ride motorcycles. And yes, it has an impact on traffic congestion. Every year we get at least one fatality on a motorcycle. We're going to protect these folks who come from all over from getting their motorcycles stolen. We're going to be on the alert for them driving drunk or having problems in taverns because they've had too much to drink. We're going to be basically policing a city within a city while at the same time engaged in heavy-duty anti-crime work. So, yes, it'll add stress. It's part of being a world-class city, okay? We're a first-class big city, which means just like, you know, Chicago, we've got to have the capacity to police major crowd events and still keep the rest of the city safe, and we're committed to doing that.
Chief Flynn, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Edward Flynn is Chief of Police of the Milwaukee Police Department. A short break now, and when we return, is an expansion in the works for the Amtrak lines running through Wisconsin. We'll talk with a rail journalist about that possibility, and later we'll talk about televised police work with Eric Estrada, 30 years after CHIPS. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.